tonight that feels like that you've not been the friend that Jesus needed you to be. He's been more than a friend.
He giveth more grace when the trials are many. He giveth more strength for the need. In a world full of questions, He is the answer. He's been more than a friend to me. More than I ever asked for, He's been more than He promised to be. But there've been times I've not been the friend that He needed, but He's always been a friend to me. He giveth more strength when I become weary. Sendeth His peace with a storm, and when I am afraid, or when I feel helpless, I'm secure in the shelter of His arms. He's been more than He promised He would be. But there've been times I've not been the friend Jesus needed, but He's always been a friend to me. Yes, He's always been a friend to me.
Trouble sprung and kept you unaware. The everyday of living seems unfair. So you try again your dreams and plans, but they wind up in defeat. The fancy thrills that once fulfilled now leave you incomplete. And you wonder where your life's gone wrong, where you can't find peace. Your hope's not gone, it's just been too long since you've had to believe. So keep believing in what you know is true. You don't know what to do. You lose that if you just keep believing. what we believe. So our faith cannot be built upon only what we see or feel. And circumstances cannot change what our hearts know to be real. So we just rise and find your mind. Our friends don't need to leave, for we forgot it's not over.
A lot to me in the last few weeks. Brother Shepherd and I just took a long trip a few weeks ago to the state of Idaho, and there we found things much changed. I'm so glad the Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ is starting home missions work there because they really need it. We lived there several years, and I'm so glad that somebody's going to go there with the truth. A lot of people are giving up what they once believed, but I'm so glad that I still believe what I always believed, and that God set me free a long time ago. You see, my grandfather came out of Roman Catholicism, and God showed him this oneness truth a long time ago, and I'm so glad that I've got it also in me. Oh, I'm glad for my heritage. Yes, I am. Hallelujah. We see the revival that we want to see and that we keep saying we're going to see. It's going to take some people on their knees. This is for Charlie. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your prayer. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Thank you.
in prayer. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, and listen to your children pray. Send us the love that God promised to give us more. We just love the Lord tonight. Let's just take time out to love God tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad for what we feel here tonight? How many is ready for the Word of God? Can we stand one more time? Praise the Lord. And as Brother Shepherd comes from Donovan, Missouri, to preach the Word of God to us, let us lift our hands and love the Lord tonight. Praise God. You may be seated if you'd like. I'm very glad to be here tonight. I'm glad that I have made it tonight. My mother gave me some instructions when I was younger that when I went out, there were certain things that I needed to do. Always make sure, she said, that you had on clean socks and that your undies were clean too, you know. Make sure your teeth is brushed. Well, since that time, I have added a few more things to that list. Make sure your shoes are shined and your pants are pressed and your shirt's ironed. Don't forget nothing. Well, I have tried to make sure that all of these fine points on my list were checked off. But I must admit to you tonight, I would like to see the Lord move among us and folks be strengthened here. And that will depend on you and I and respond to His Spirit. I'd like to read to you from the Gospel of St. John tonight, chapter 1, and also from St. John, chapter 2. In St. John, chapter 1, verse 35, if you care to stand, please do so. St. John, chapter 1, verse 35.
reading down to verse 42. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walketh, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, and it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. St. John chapter 2, reading in your hearing, verse 23, 24, and 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify a man, for he knew what was in man. And can you say amen tonight? If you will allow me tonight, I would like to preach a message just simply entitled, I don't know, but I do know. You may be seated tonight. In the past few months in pastoring, more than just the past few months, but many months that have accumulated into several years now, I have dealt with frustrations that are simply derived from the fact that I have had to learn my limitations as a man in relationship to those that I sought to pastor. At times I have become angry because of statements that were made, such as, you just don't know. I must admit to you, I was aggravated. Just mad. Why do you say that? You don't know, Pastor. And in stopping and considering, I had to admit to myself that I didn't know. One young man told his wife, whose marriage had been shattered by unfaithfulness, I can't go to him. He don't know how I feel. He don't know where I'm coming from. He don't know what I've had to face. I stand before you confessing, that's right. I don't. I hope I never have to. I don't understand where he's coming from and the things he's had to deal with. I've seen the frustration on his face. I've seen the anger. I've heard of his wrath. But I really don't understand a lot of things that he has dealt with and where he has come from. I have within the congregation a Vietnam veteran that still yet today deals with the trauma of that conflict. There are nights that he paces the floor that he cannot sleep. There are times that there are flashbacks that his wife has to just literally walk the floor with him. And she made a statement to me, Pastor Shepherd, you don't understand what he's dealing with, what we've had to deal with. You don't understand where he is coming from. And I admit to you, I don't know. I don't understand.
I don't comprehend the things that he has went through and where he has been and the things that he has seen. I do not seek to stand here and cop out and run from responsibility. But instead, I wish to admit to you my limitations as a man in dealing with those that have problems that I do not understand. They brought me some literature. And I have sat down and I have read it. And I must admit to you that I was a little bit more aware of the problem that exists. But still, I will tell you, I don't have the answers that he wants. Now stay with me. We had an incident in the church of sickness where an individual dealt with terminal cancer. And we have in the church there several nurses, RNs. And one of them so kindly checked out a book out of their library there in the hospital and brought it to me. About so thick. And so on. And said, Pastor, this will help you. And I thanked her and I took it home. I couldn't even get through the table of contents. I tangled up in the first paragraph and had to go find a dictionary to decipher what they were trying to tell me in introducing to me the problem thereof. I must admit to you, I like the pictures. I could understand that. I could comprehend some of that. I give it to my wife, which I feel is a little bit more intelligent than myself, and I said, here, dear, this is more to your liking. I said, I'm going to tell this individual when I take it back to them that I look at their book and I appreciate them bringing it to me and I have a greater insight. At least I know what it is now if I see it because of the pictures. I come to have a good time tonight. And I'm not trying to make fun or be light. I'm just simply stating to you again, I don't know. There's just some things that I don't comprehend. There's just some things that I don't know. I'm afraid that there are a lot of individuals that have walked into my office that have sought for counsel, that have come to the wrong counselor. Because what they really wanted me to tell them was something that I did not know, which was the intent of their heart. They wanted me to tell them, and forgive me tonight, I do not wish to seem harsh or overbearing. I'm afraid that there are many who want their pastors to be something to them that they cannot be. There are those that want their parents and the loved ones that they have to be something to them that they cannot be and never will be. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say I love you, Lord. Oh my. Months ago, I dealt with a period of great depression in my life. I never in all my life went through anything like I went through. Weeks turned into a month into another month, 2 months into three into four. Depressed, just could not seem to walk out from under the cloud that seemed to hide the sun. Just could not seem to be able to laugh and enjoy life because of the things that I had countered and the answers that I did not have. One night in a fellowship service, and I want to stop right here and simply state to you with conviction on my part that I thank God for the church and I'm thankful for my brethren. If I ever needed them, I need them now like I have never needed them before. May I say that again? I need them. Pre-adventured, you do not, but I do.
I have to have them. I am not an island by myself. I can't exist by myself. I must have my brethren. Hallelujah! Woo! Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost here. My wife was afraid when I moved to the hills of southeast Missouri that I would become a hermit, which is, according to my nature, would probably have been about par. You know, just back in them hills. Just back in them hills. They used to say that we lived so far back they had to pipe in sunshine. I partly believe that. Brother David Akers declares that we get a newspaper, but he declares it's at least a month behind time. We are that far back. He says, does not have a decent newspaper. We have a Prospect News. And if it don't happen in Ripley County and Donovan, Missouri, it's not happening. Pastor Shepherd, don't you have much in Donovan? Yeah. The most exciting thing that's happened in the past few years was the best restaurant in town burnt down. Folks gathered out and watched it for a day and a half. We're having a good time. We've come up in the world. We now have a Sonic. Another bank is coming in. Progress. We'll make it. Oh. She was afraid I'd become a hermit. But I found very quickly that I could not afford to become a hermit. I had to have someone I could talk to. I had to have someone to fellowship with. I had to have someone to put their arms around me sometime and say, hey, I believe in you and what you are, and I want to see you do it. You need to wave your hand just a little bit and thank God for the church. Hallelujah! Woo! But I need the church. Went through 4 months of depression, and one night in a fellowship meeting, I turned to my pastor, the man that is known in our part of the country as the bishop. I said, Bishop, I'm dealing with depression and have for weeks now. I don't mind being tempted. I don't mind being tried if this is a testing of my faith. I just wish God would give me understanding that I could understand what is happening. I don't know what is going on. And the man never hesitated. He just simply turned to me and said, I'm going to tell you your problem. You're trying to do it. You're trying to carry this people. You're trying to be for them what you cannot be. There is the one God. May I tell you, He is still God tonight. He is still God tonight. He is still God tonight. There are some things that I do not know, but there is one thing that I do know. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You're doing it, He says. And I stand to confess before you that the tear ducts opened in my eyes and I begin to weep uncontrollably. And I wept that night. We come back the next night for prayer meeting. I could not even open the prayer service. Tears begin to flow down my face. God, I don't have the answers for this people. I don't know what's in their heart, but I do know one that does. Can I tell you, will you come and go with me? Let me take you to Jesus. Let me take you to Jesus. Lord, I feel this tonight. I stand before you, and if I seem to be critical, please forgive me. But I have had those men who have walked among our people who have looked them in the eyes and said, you have this and this and this problem. And turned and prayed for them and walked off. I must say to you this, please forgive me. If they are able to discern the problem, then why do not I also tell them the answer to that problem? I want you to know the true test of it all is not the discerning, but it is the answer to that which plagues humanity. Will you come and go with me? I want to take you to Jesus. He's the answer. I cannot heal, but I know one who can. He has not changed. He is still the same. I want to say it again. If you are in need of healing, not only for your physical man, but for your spiritual man, you need not look at me, need not look at that of the arm of death, but you need to look onto the arm of the great physician, for he is still the healer. I got a battle that I'm dealing with. Don't look at me. You're looking at the wrong one. I'm not for sure. I can advise you. But wait a minute. Can I simply state this to you? When it is said and done, I really don't know what you're battling. Lord, I've had folks come to me and tell me they won't help. And they won't be truthful with me. They don't want to spill their guts, as the old saying is. And then they walk away in frustration saying, the church failed them. The pastors failed them. I'm going to tell you who's really failed. It ain't the pastor. It ain't the church. It's you who's failed in the fact that your problem stems from the fact you won't be honest with God. I hear them saying, if it hadn't been for Brother So-and-so, if Sister So-and-so hadn't done this, well, you know, I'm just a victim of my upbringing. I'm just a victim, period. Why don't you quit? Why don't you stop hiding behind your excuses and come out and bear yourself before God and say, God, if you want to know the problem, it's right here, and I need help. I've walked out of people's homes. I've looked at my wife and I said, they weren't truthful with me. They're not telling me the truth. They say they want my help. They say they want my advice. But they're not willing to come out and tell it like it really is and shoulder parts of the responsibility themselves. I'm going to tell you something. God is able to move mountains tonight just as much as he was able to create them. He's able to part the water as much as he is able to make it rain. He's able to feed you as much as he is to make the grass grow. But you're going to have to quit blaming everybody else but your own self, honey. The problem lies right here. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my mother nor my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. Do you hear me? It's me. I need God.
You know, I don't have a doctorate. I don't have a PhD. I don't have a BDS or a CBS or an MBS. Did you like that? I don't have an NASA either. That's NASA. I don't have a UPS. Matter of fact, I don't even have a UPC. You folks might as well grin and have a good time tonight. My wife is standing pointing at her watch, wondering what I'm doing. Just hold on. Yes, brother, she sings. Oh, does she sing? And I preach at home. But you know, I sing also sometimes. And she preaches sometimes. That's why I sing. Turn to somebody, shake their hand, tell them you're glad they're here tonight. No, I don't have those things. And I don't stand here condemning those that do. I'm glad. I mean that. If opportunity would avail itself, I'd like to go back to school. I really would. I'd like to have one of those pieces of paper, too, to hang on my wall and say, see here, I have a degree, too. But you know, I'm glad for those that do. I'm glad that they have learned to dot their I's better than I and cross their T's a little better than me. I'm glad that they have learned to put every period in the right place. And Lord, they know how to say it a whole lot better than I do sometimes. I'm glad. I really mean that. I'm not being critical. I mean that. We've encouraged our young folks at home, go to school. Go back to school. Go to college. Make something of yourselves. We have a young lady that's getting ready. She wants to be a lawyer, a corporation lawyer, I believe is the term. I told her the graduation, the pastor may need a lawyer. She was just wondering what business I was going to go into. Another one is going And again, I say all of these things are good. But when it is said and done, there is a wisdom and understanding that only comes from God. They didn't give me a manual when I started pastoring that told me everything that I was going to be confronted with. God, I wish they had. I wish they would have given me a computer program that I could have punched in certain characteristics and punched the button of entrance and found all the things I was going to have to deal with. But it ain't that way. That's never a dull moment. Something's all the time happening around the church. I mean, the Spirit is always moving. And I ain't going to guarantee what kind of Spirit, but it's moving. I'm just being truthful with you. I'm not trying to hide. It's just the way it is sometimes. Whew.
But you know, I've had them look me in the eye and say, "Pastor Shepherd, you just ain't smart enough for this." I'm going to indulge myself. Wife kind of watch me here, all right? If I don't, I'll be singing tonight, gentlemen. And Lord, I'm not being critical of young preachers. I was a young preacher once myself. But I've had two young preachers just say, "Pastor Shepherd, we have reached the point that we have outgrown you. And we feel like for our ministry to improve, we need to go on to greener pastures." Well, let me say this. I don't know. There are some things I don't know about that, but there are some things I do know. I told one of them, I said, "Let me simply state to you some advice that was told to me. You're going to wait. Now, you're either going to wait at New Life, or you're going to wait beside the road somewhere with a flat tire, but you're going to wait." Another young man come in, he said, "Well, I'm leaving." I said, "Well, if that's what you intend to do, all right." He said, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "You're going to learn." He looked at me and he said, "What?" I said, "You're going to learn. You're getting in a good position to learn some things like you ain't never learned before." Ooh, Lord. Let me come back to my stomach. I've indulged myself enough over here already. Don't you understand? Don't you see? God, I don't have the power to look into your heart. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know where you're coming from. And you know something? You need to have a pastor, and you need to have someone you can lean on and someone you can talk to. But I'm going to tell you something. He ain't got all the answers either for that particular situation. He does have an answer. I used to think my pastor just kind of copped out, you know. And he'd just say, "Well, you need to take it to God. Pray about it. It'll be all right." And I used to think, you're ignoring the situation, Pastor. You don't want to confront it. Let me tell you something. I pastored 8 years, and you know what I think? You need to pray about it. You need to talk to God about it. You need to go to the one that's got the answers. You need to fall on your face and call on His name. He's still the one. I get around and talk to my wife sometimes. "What do you think, dear? If it was me, I would..." That's enough, dear. I understand. Then there are times that she says, "What are you going to do? If it was left up to me, I would break her leg." I've often said, "Their head is screwed on backwards. I would turn it around right." My little boy at the table the other day, he said, "Daddy, I want to tell you something." I said, "What is it?" He said, "You know something, Daddy? You do a whole lot of talking at this table and don't do nothing else." He said, "You have been going to do so many things and never done it." "Yeah, I did. I told him, I said, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to take the pulpit. Bless God, when I get through, they're going to think, woo, what are they going to think?" Just blown off steam.
Now, wait a minute now. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out. All lay members, would you please bow your head for prayer? Now, I'm not... Oh, God. I'm the only one in this building that does it best. You give me a complex tonight, folks. I'm telling you. I said, that's right, son. I do. Until I go to church and get on my knees and I talk to God about it. Can I tell you something? I can't but help feel that there are times that he simply said, it ain't none of your business. There ain't nothing you can do with it anyway. Why don't you back up and let me do it? I want you to know that I may not know, but I know one that does know. I don't know where you're coming from, but there is one that does. Do you hear me? He's not out. Woo! Love. I want you to put your hands together and give him a clap offer because he is in charge. Lord, I feel like getting out in the aisle and just, as one man said, just juking and jiving here tonight. Lord, Lord. I'm on close with this. You take this on with you. You may lie to yourself, but you ain't going to get by. You may lie to the saints, but you ain't going to get by. You may lie to the pastor, but you ain't going to get by. You may even dare lie to God, but you ain't going to get by. Because there is one that sees not as man seeth, who looketh nothing but on the outward. I've seen folks come in, and you have too, just slump in the pews, and I have often wondered what is wrong with them, only to find out that they were tired and weary, had a headache, and they were not sick. I couldn't psychoanalyze them. I didn't know what their problem was. There have been those that have come in the middle of a sermon and sit down and cross their arms, and I have thought they are ill with what they're hearing, when really it was God dealing with them and them saying, God has been talking to me all day, Pastor, and I couldn't wait for you to give the altar service. Do you hear me? I don't know, but there is one that does know. And if I may, let me bring you unto him. Let's go to Jesus. I don't go to church and leave folks in worship for no purpose. I don't leave folks in prayer for no purpose. What I'm really saying and trying to do is, you need to come and go with me. I feel the direction of the Holy Ghost into the holiest of holies. And if you've got a problem, if you'll come and go with me, we'll get to the one that has the answer. Why ain't you praying? I don't feel like that. You need to pray. Don't you understand? But Pastor, I just, come on. You need to pray. Why do I need to pray? Because we need to go into the holiest of holies. You need to sing a little louder, clap a little louder. Come on and do it like you ain't never done it before. Why, Pastor? I want you to get into the holiest of holies. Why? Because my hands, they cannot do for you what the hands of the Master can. I can't speak enough, but he can.
I'm met so many people who live their lives in fear. Worry about what to do.
You feel the need to pray tonight, the altar's open. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The door is open tonight for those who feel the need to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need prayer tonight, come on forward. We'd like somebody to lay hands on you and pray for you tonight. Step forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We don't have the answer, but we know who does. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.